So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, with our guest today, Linda Claire Puig. And our topic today is how to authentically connect with your readers and make money with an e-zine. And so before we dive into our content, because this will be another content-rich call like we have here, let's just take a moment to just connect and create our intention for our time together. If you've been on the phone all day or on your computer, just take a break for a moment, take a nice deep breath, and just stand. And just stretch your arms. And just soften your knees, relax your shoulders. Just take a nice deep breath. And notice how just taking a few deep breaths and bringing your attention just to your breath and slowing down brings you into your body. And just being in your body connects you to more of you and more of what's possible. And what's possible in this hour is that you will hear things. You will hear bits of information that will be tailor-made for you. And so you'll walk away from our hour together inspired with some new ideas and things that you can implement in your business right away so that you can bring your business more alive, more abundantly into the world. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And thank you, Linda. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, and I love that you just did that. That was so helpful. I think everyone should do that on their teleclass.
Creating the space for our time together so that we really can get the most out of our time.
It's wonderful.
You know, in an hour, it's just amazing how much you can get in an hour, especially when you hang out with an expert, you know, someone who really knows their material, who really knows a specific niche in a market that really has a lot of expertise. It's like, you know, most of the time these conversations are like chock full of just so much that there's actually a surplus of things that people can try. So
yes,
we're gonna try and get them the bits that they most need. So
great.
For those of you that don't know Linda yet, she's a newsletter marketing expert whose company, Claire Communications, provides busy coaches and personal development professionals with high quality education based content and newsletters to grow their businesses. So for those of you that say, I can't write that newsletter, there is no longer any reason on the planet why you can't use this powerful business tool. She also teaches unique and action-oriented programs on how to create newsletters and use them to make more money. An award-winning writer since 1983, Linda's articles have appeared in newspapers, magazines, and newsletters throughout the world. She's produced newsletters for small businesses and professionals since 1990, and she's trained thousands of individuals in the way of the newsletter. Welcome, Linda. It's great to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I loved the way of the newsletter.
Yeah, I know. I like that, too.
That felt very zen, you know?
Perfect for this, yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you know, and it's one of those things, actually, Ellen and I have been chatting about this. And I think I mentioned this to you when I was asking you if you wanted to be in my program, that that some of the most successful people that I am seeing that are doing business on the internet, that have coaching practices and businesses that have, you know, that are also product based, that some of the most successful names in the business all have this thing in common. They all have a newsletter.
Yes. It's very true. If anybody wants to do their own research, you'll find the same. And you can sign up for as many mailing lists as I'm on. and you'll get all kinds of newsletters because they're all sending newsletters. And this was so interesting. I've been doing newsletters for clients for years, and I started doing my own in a regular way, you know, years ago as well. But it wasn't until I started meeting with some of these other successful business owners last year in September, actually, I went to a JV summit. And JV, for anybody who needs to know, is joint venture. So it's people who are, you know, working with the same market and might want to promote each other's things if it's a right fit for their people. And I asked everybody who was in attendance at that event, how many of you send newsletters thinking, well, some of them are going to say, oh, I just Twitter or I just Facebook. And actually 19 out of 20 said, I do. I send a regular newsletter. And that to me was like, okay, yes, that's it. That's the social proof, you know, that I've really been looking for. And it's absolutely true. It's one of the most critical components of that kind of a, you know, big business, successful business that you can have.
So what is it about a newsletter that makes it a crucial strategy for your business?
Well, you know, a good way to learn the answer to this is really to explore what happens when you don't send one.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the opposite is true. And some, I mean, I talk about both, you know, the pros and the bad part of not sending a newsletter, but it's really important when you look at what is happening in your business when you're not sending a newsletter, and that really drives the point home better, I think, than I could in another way. So, for example, if you're not sending a newsletter, you probably have a service or a product that is fantastic. I mean, most of the people that you and I work with, Adela, have great intentions, great services, great expertise in their particular areas, but if people don't know about it, you're going to stay the best-kept secret forever. You're going to be out of sight, out of mind. People aren't going to know about you, or they're not going to remember you when whatever it is that they need and you have comes up. Without a newsletter, you're going to have less income and income potential, because what a newsletter does is keep and nurture the relationship with the people that you market to, so that when you do make an offer, your offer is well received and sometimes enthusiastically received. At the very least, it's tolerated. You know, people are always worried about, oh, I'm marketing too much and selling too much. Well, you know, if you're sending good information in your newsletter on a regular basis, that doesn't even enter the equation. You know, you continue to stay small and struggle. You end up with fewer opportunities. One of the things that newsletters do is engage you with other people in the wider circle, so that, you know, I can't tell you how many times when I send my newsletter out, I'll get responses saying, oh, could you speak to my list, or could you attend this event, or, you know, so it's that kind of increased, enhanced exposure that you build and credibility and expertise that you build when you're sending out a regular newsletter. And those opportunities to connect with and potentially joint venture with other people in your industry is, you know, those opportunities don't come when you're not sending a newsletter, because nobody knows about you. It just always boils down to that problem of doing what you do and nobody knowing about it. So, and the other thing is, you know, with your own clients, if they're not hearing from you on a regular basis, they're not going to stick around as long either. So if you're not sending regular helpful material to your list, your client retention is reduced. And believe it or not, we can talk about this a little bit later, but without a newsletter, you have less ability to affect or control your cash flow. That always perks people's ear up.
I was just going to say, how so? The question comes up right away. Hello?
Hello? Right. What was that you said? You want me to answer that right now?
Yeah, I would love it to answer that, because I think that that's a pretty compelling statement there.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you have that kind of a relationship with your market, you're going to be able to, on the spot, let's say, you know, your kid just got accepted into college, but it was a college that's beyond your range that you were expecting to pay. Or maybe your computer just died and you need to get a new one. You know, whatever the dollar amount, you could be faced suddenly with an extra need for some cash flow. Well, if you have a great relationship with your newsletter, all you need to do is put something together and put it out to them. And I'll give you a brilliant example of that. A friend of mine was at a conference. I think it was a 4-day conference, and the leader of the conference challenged everyone in the room to see who could make the most money that weekend putting things into action that they were learning at the conference, and or just to put things in action, you know, whether they were learning it anew or not. But so what she did was she went back to her hotel room in the evening, created a group coaching program that she'd been, you know, thinking about doing or just decided to do that day, and created the sales page, doesn't have to be huge and intensive, and sent it out to her list that night. She did it all in a matter of a few hours. And she made $15,000 that weekend. She won.
Wow.
You know, so that's what you can do when you have a list that's number one responsive, that, you know, is in active relationship with you, and that is large enough. And that's another area that we'll talk about, I'm sure, on the call, is getting your list to a size that's going to be beneficial for your business.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the elements of a good newsletter, but before we do that, I wanted for you to share, what are some of the things that people are doing wrong with their newsletters?
Well, I always say the first thing that they're doing wrong is not sending them. There's so many people who aren't sending them, and for various reasons. You know, I don't have the time, I don't have the skills, I don't know what to say, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's what I hear on a daily basis from the people that I talk with. So not sending one is the biggest mistake, but if you are sending one, if you've managed to, you know, get over that hurdle, likely a lot of people send infrequently or irregularly, and that can be something that it's almost tantamount to not sending one at all, because if you send infrequently enough, you have to reintroduce yourself all over again almost every time you send one. That's not true necessarily for the clients who've actually worked with you, but for people who have just gotten to know you in, you know, maybe they met you at a conference or they signed up for your free giveaway or whatever, you know, they don't remember. So you need to be in regular and frequent contact with them. When people are starting out, sometimes it can be really tricky to understand that a newsletter is really a tool of education. You know, that's its best use, not a tool of promotion. So you don't send a newsletter out that's just filled with promotional piece after promotional piece. A newsletter has rich educational content and some promotion. That's the balance. And, you know, you can shoot for 75-25 or 60-40 maybe would be the most promotional content that you might have in an issue. But, you want to make sure that your balance is correct, because then if it's not, your newsletter won't work for you in the way that it's designed to work. It's designed to be a free gift on a regular basis that says, I have this great information that I can impart to your life, and you've signed up to be on my list because obviously you must need something related to that. So that's the spirit in which the newsletter develops that relationship between you and the people on your list. And the other thing, I mean, there are a lot of different things that people can do and do better, but one of the things that breaks my heart is to see people, you know, putting all the effort into their newsletter but not focusing on growing their list. And so you might have somebody who sends out to 200 people on a regular basis, and that's awesome. 200 is nothing to sneeze at. Some people start with 25, and most of those are friends and family, but that's a, you know, that's a good place to start. But 200 people, if you were to have a great constant relationship with those 200 people and send an offer out to them, let's say, you know, 4% sign up, that's, I don't have the figures right in front of me, but, you know, you might make, if you were sending a $500 promotion for a $500 coaching program, $500 a month, with a 4% rate of sign-ups, you might make, what is it, $8,000, something like that. And if your list was 2,000 instead of 200, and you did even less, your income is going to go so I think the when I figured this out, it was like about $20,000 with the same amount of effort. So if your list is 2,000 versus 200, you put the same amount of effort into your newsletter, into your promotional pieces, but your income is vastly different. So that's why, to me, it's really important to focus on growing your list, because that's one of the biggest and easiest ways to jump your income up to a level that, you know, that you want it to be, that you're more comfortable at, that you're not struggling at, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've seen, and that I know that was a problem for me when I, because that's what I had, I think probably a list of 200. Mm-hmm. And I think I had a list of 200, it seemed like, for 3 years.
And look at you now.
Yeah, I know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. But one of the things that I used to think, you know, that I used to get great and rave reviews about my content.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I would try to sell something, nobody would buy anything. And it was interesting because I think that at first all I was doing was giving content, giving content, giving content, giving content. And then somebody said to me, well, Stella, you know, you're also supposed to be making some kind of invitation or offer in your newsletter. And then when I did it, like, I would get very little or almost no response. Is there a way, like, let's say you kind of started off on the wrong foot in terms of, like, that ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people go in the opposite. You know, some people might sell too much, but some people don't even sell at all or offer, make any offer at all.
Mm-hmm.
So can you fix that relationship, Linda?
Yes, I think it's a matter of sort of training your list. So you might need to retrain them. If you've given them nothing but content for a couple of years, you're going to need to retrain them, and you will experience some die-off, you could say, you know, some people unsubscribing because, you know, you deign to sell something in your newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but most people are going to stick around because you've developed that relationship with them with all that great content. And, you know, the things that you're going to – I always have to remind people, the things that you're promoting are good for them. So these are wonderful programs and wonderful products. They're of the highest integrity, especially all the people that are on this call. You know, you've come to a Conscious Business Telesummit. You are in the right heart space. So the things that you're promoting are not yucky. They're not icky. They're great. And so part of the problem is when you start promoting, you feel shy about promoting.
Mm-hmm.
You feel, you know, so many people in this realm, in this industry, they just feel like, if I promote, I'm going to be like that used car guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't promote with the kind of confidence that comes from really knowing your value and being comfortable with marketing it because you so recognize the value of what you're providing. And also there's this mindset shift that is really amazing if you can make it. Sometimes you can make it intellectually at first, but it doesn't sink into the body for a while. But the mindset is that if you've got a gift, a service or a particular approach to life or business or whatever that enhances people's lives or businesses, or both, obviously they're intertwined, then who are you to keep it from them? You know, it's your job. That's part of getting your gift out, is to promote it. So you have to. So yes, a long answer to your question is yes, it is possible to retrain and right the balance so that you are offering both. But one of the things that people don't realize is that a newsletter is not the only place that you should be promoting. If you're expecting your newsletter by itself to be the promotional vehicle for your programs and classes and products and whatnot, you need to understand that that's not enough. It's important to put material in your newsletter to promote your events and programs, but you need to send standalone emails for those. And you can test it yourself, but everybody I know, including myself, who has tested it, will find that if you can send a standalone email that's just focused on one thing, it's going to be shorter than a newsletter, and the subject line is going to be very focused, and the copy is going to be very, you know, directed, that is going to get many, many more people to sign up for that event or that whatever than a note in your newsletter. The newsletter blurb will stand as a support to your standalone efforts. Sometimes I announce something first in my newsletter just because of timing, you know, and then I'll follow it up with a standalone. And sometimes I'll announce things with a standalone email and follow it up with my newsletter. So don't expect that your newsletter is going to be doing all of the promotional effort. The relationship that you're building with your newsletter is its job. That's its primary job. So does that help, Adela?
Yeah, that really helps, because I know that I'm not the only one that experienced that. That's a very common, especially for conscious entrepreneurs who are very value-oriented and service-based. You know, they really want to give value and you know, just give, and they have a little trouble, you know, in the exchange.
Yeah. It's part of, you know, I really think that it's part of what we're doing in the world right now is coming to the awareness of the importance of what we do, and the skills and abilities to articulate that to more and more people.
Yeah, and this is a piece that is really, really key, especially because it does get you into a place where you do create a relationship with your list, with your folks, your community, whatever you call them. I wanted if you could spend a little bit of time in terms of what are the elements that you can use in your newsletter to deepen that connection, to deepen that trust, to deepen the relationship between you and your subscribers.
I'll do that, and I want also to ask you to remember that I just thought of something that I really want to talk about, and that's how newsletters and blogs and social media relate to each other. So,
okay, will do.
Yeah. So the kinds of things that you want to have in there, the very first one that should be at the top is a note from you. And I have a funny experience myself with this for several years in doing my own newsletter. I so resisted making that a personal note from me. It's part of my personality. I think I just am not as comfortable with people knowing me, you know. So I wanted to hide behind this institutional Clear Communications, you know, this business that does newsletters for other people. I didn't want to have my face on the newsletter. I didn't want to have anything coming from my heart in the newsletter. And so it's been a real process over the years of getting more and more comfortable with that. And two things. One, I feel it's so much more fun now writing my newsletter. You know, I've been able to kind of work through that piece of being shy. And the other is it's so much more effective. I get so much more interaction with people. So a personal note from you, which is not to say that your personal note has to say, I walked my dog this morning. It might, if that's something that's really up in your life. You know, people like to connect with humans, with other beings that are just like them. You know, like that thing in, I don't know, People magazine or one of those trash magazines that says, you know, stars and celebrities, they're just like you. They drink coffee. They drink.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, we want to know that the people who we look up to for their expertise, and that means you. You're going to be that person for the people who are on your newsletter list. They are looking up to you. You have something that they want and can derive value from. So I think that's one of the first places and a big place to consciously connect with your audience in an authentic way. And, you know, sometimes you just have to close your eyes and grit your teeth and press send. You know, you might be that nervous about it. I certainly have had my days of that. But just do it. You know, you might get some great feedback. You might get some really funky feedback. You know, whatever it is, it means that you're engaging with people, and that's good. So that's one area that I am more and more enthusiastic and passionate about. And then there's, I believe that each newsletter has to have an educational article, something of education. I like to put a few things of education in my newsletter. I like to put a tips section, so I put newsletter tips, and then I have an article, and the article is sometimes about specifically newsletters and things related to newsletters, and other times it's a little broader and it relates to marketing or marketing mindset or that kind of thing. So whatever it is that you do, you know, you write about that. I have a whole, I don't know if you'd call it an ebook or a special report. It's kind of maybe in between, but I could give the link for that. Oh goodness, if I can remember it, or I can send it to you.
You can send it to me, and I'll include it in the follow-up email.
Yeah, and it has kind of some worksheets that you can go through to discover what it is that you you know, should be best writing about, and give you some ways to brainstorm topics and titles and that sort of thing. And of course, you can always go to my website, which I think, Adela, you'll give a little bit later too. And you know, if articles aren't your thing, then you can buy articles from me that have been pre-written by either me or some of my professional writers, and tweak those a little bit and use them for your audience. Either way, you know, it's not the title of this was, you know, how to authentically connect with your readers. And I've had people worry that, oh, if they're buying articles from me, they're not going to be authentically connecting. That's baloney. You know, if you're choosing an article that you think is appealing to your audience and you're saying, this looks good, I want to give this to them, if you didn't happen to write the entire thing, that doesn't matter. You're thinking about the needs of your list and sending them material that will benefit their lives. And you can, you know, have as much as you want to do with editing and whatnot. So there, as Adela said at the beginning, there is no excuse for not having an article in your newsletter or for not having a newsletter, period. So that's one of the most important pieces, is the personal note and the article. If you had nothing other than those two things and a little promotional piece, that would be sufficient. That would be an adequate newsletter. But a lot of people like to put other things in there, like maybe a resources section. Maybe you came across a great web tool that people could use, or you know, one of your friends is giving a free teleclass that you think would be appropriate for your audience, that they'd love and eat up and would find value in. So, you know, you could have recommendations. You can have the document that I'll give you has a whole list. I think there are 40 different types of information that you can include in your newsletter. Most people don't think of all the different things that you can put in. Like, you can put in quizzes, you can put in cartoons, you can put in a Q&A, a Dear Abby kind of thing. You know, it's just multitudes of ways to provide value for your list.
Yeah. 40 alone, how we won't have any excuse not to be able to write content for our
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, one of the things I wanted to go, maybe we might segue, because one of the I wanted to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. One of the strategies that I've seen is that folks will start an article in their newsletter, and then they'll point you up to their blog to complete it.
Yes.
And I just wondered what you thought of that, and I guess what are the objectives behind that?
I go into my journalism mode, because I used to be a journalist, and I give both sides of that, because I think it really is a personal decision, but you should be aware of some of the pros and cons of that strategy versus a put the whole article in your newsletter strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If you link to the full article on your blog, then that's a way to drive them to your blog. It's also a way to measure how many people are interested enough to link to the full article. That being said, a lot of people won't take that extra step. So they'll just read the teaser, and they'll read it, you know, the other things that are in what is before them in their inbox. So you have to kind of balance that out in your decision making. I used to do a link to the full article. and I no longer do that, and I'm actually changing my client newsletters. We used to do two articles with both of them linking to a full article, and now we're just going to be putting one article in each newsletter in its full state, and encouraging them to send two newsletters a month of this nature versus one newsletter a month. So, you know, I study the field a lot, and I really sit with the experiences and what I'm seeing with other people, and I study it, and that's where I've fallen in terms of that side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that it's a bad idea to click to, you know, to the full article on your blog. So it's something that you might just want to test for yourself. What kinds of, you know, how are your measurements, your tracking measurements, how are they stacking up against each other, you know, based on doing those both different ways?
If you use like an email delivery system that allows you, like for example, AWeber, one shopping cart also allows you to see how many people open.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it's an HTML newsletter,
yes.
Not if it's a text email.
Correct.
A text newsletter. What is a good open rate for your newsletter? What would you consider something like healthy?
It's the question that everybody wants to know, and I'll give you an answer, but I want to preface it in a lot of different ways because
okay.
They're very unreliable, those open rates,
okay.
Because you know, people don't necessarily look at their email with images on, and that's how open rates are tracked, is with a little hidden, invisible image. And so if they're looking at them without any images, it won't register as an open. And sometimes I think the old Blackberries, if people are still using the old Blackberries, those didn't ever register images. So, you know, it sort of depends on your list and how they look at things, how they view. And a lot of times people will look at their newsletters in their preview pane without double clicking on the actual item. And I know, like in my inbox, I have most images turned off. It's just I never bothered to change it. That's the way the preferences were set. And so I'll often read people's newsletters without downloading any of the images. So I've not double-clicked on it. That would have registered an open. I'm reading the whole thing in my preview pane, and I'm not turning on the images. So I'm not going to register as an open on somebody's tracking mechanism. So that's one of the reasons that they're unreliable. There are a number of others, but that's all I'll go into right now. So that being said, if you have, you know, anywhere from 20 to 40%,
mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good open rate. I'm always looking for statistics that can help me assess that, and the best I've found so far, it seems like they would lump coaching in the consulting industry. And the average open rate for people in the consulting industry was way lower than that. But my experience with others in this field is that of, you know, 20 to 40%. So I don't know if that helps.
Well, I think
the best thing to say, Adela,
mm-hmm.
is to measure yourself against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way you're going to find what's going on with you. In some of my classes, I do teach ways that you can improve your open rates and whatnot. But the bottom line is that if you look at your own statistics over time to see what trend they're having, and if you're always exploring ways to improve, you know, the open rates that you have, then that's the best that you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I use it also to determine popular topics of
yep.
interest. You know, every time I do a telesummit, I create a separate list. So,
mm-hmm.
And so I get a pretty good idea of where there's a really heavy interest. So I think it's the same thing with titles for articles in your newsletter.
Yep. Yep.
You can see which ones are really, you know, have a lot of juice. And there's
yep.
a lot of ways. I mean, the open rate isn't the only one. So can you share some other ways that we can tell whether a topic or an article is really hitting home with our readers?
Yeah. I think a better way to measure the effectiveness that you're having is in click rates, click-throughs, and that's what things people are clicking on. Now, with an article, they may not be clicking if you have the full thing in your newsletter, like I said, but they'll be clicking on other things. And so if they're you can track what they're clicking on to assess their interest level in that. That's a really important thing to do. That's an actual person taking an action and clicking. It's not just, nobody can hide that. Nobody mm-hmm. nobody will be undiscovered in clicking something.
Yeah.
So, and if you wanted to provide something within the body of an article, if you have the whole thing in your newsletter and you had a link that was within the body of the newsletter, you could also check that. You know, it's an inexact science. That's what I say about newsletters, and they're just things that you pay attention to, so that you're trying to understand the actions of your readers and how to better serve them through your newsletter. So, if you have lots and lots of links in your newsletter, like I saw this one fellow's newsletter, it was great information, and he was so helpful because everywhere he could. You know, this is a practice that people do on blogs. Everywhere he could, he linked things that he was talking about in his main article.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is, yes, you can measure it, but, you know, I clicked on a few of those links, and then before you know it, I forgot all about his newsletter.
Right.
So I was off. So it's a dance between how do I keep people here and focused on my newsletter, how do I give them great, valuable information. You know, where is it that I want them to click on? Where do I want them to really pay attention? You know, it's just a dance that you constantly do.
Yeah. It's not. It's like you're saying. It's not an exact science, and it's not about increasing click-through rates. It's not about increasing, the open rates. It's about noticing the behavior and just noticing trends and being in connection with your readers.
Yeah, and I think that you do notice, you do work with those statistics, but you don't work with them in as numbers. I like what you say about that. It's about the people, mm-hmm. and it's about your tribe, your community, however you call that group of people that are on your mailing list. And so you're always trying to better understand them and their needs. And that's part of what a newsletter can do when you look at those kinds of statistics is, how did this serve them? How did that serve them? How did people like this topic? If the open rates went up, all of a sudden, you want to look at the subject line. What was it that was in your subject line that really caught people's attention?
Yeah, and you're pointing out something really important here, which is this relationship, this interaction that you have with your list. Can you give us some tips about maybe some other ways that we can increase the interaction with our subscribers?
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, I think that you can do things like have surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're actually asking them to respond. You might send a survey request out as a separate email, and you might even ask, what kinds of things do you want me to be writing about? What kinds of things would you find valuable for me to be speaking about in my newsletter? That's one good way of getting information. But you also might just want some other kinds of input from them that will help you tailor your services and whatnot. So a survey is really good, and an assessment of some sort that you offer in your newsletter, either a quiz. We have tons of quizzes on readytogoarticles.com. And so those kinds of things, if you want to have people fill out the assessment and then send it back to you, you might offer, a little 10-minute feedback on their assessment that they took.
Mm-hmm.
you might ask for questions so that you can feature those in your Q&A section if you have something like that, or your Ask the Expert corner. There are a lot of different ways that you can engage more with your readers.
Awesome. Those are great ways. Those are great ways. I think the thing that you mentioned before, too, that your friend did on that weekend conference, like a contest, like some kind of incentive thing to I think that kind of thing can be kind of fun, too. I'm just remembering when I used to work in a law firm as a secretary decades ago, mm-hmm. and I remember that they were trying to get everybody to, they were trying to let the lawyers let go of the secretary so they could get training on all this new software that was being implemented. There were big mm-hmm. migrations, and it was a challenging thing because, you know, of course they had to keep working. Anyway, they came up with this system, and the law firm was based in the South, and we were the New York City office. And they came up with this system of giving little ribbons for, okay, Word and Excel. And so every time that you went, took the training, and you passed, the assessment, you got a little ribbon. And I remember thinking to myself, Linda, this is never going to go in the New York office. We're just too New York-y, you know? We're just too slick. We're too cool. We're just, you know. Let me tell you, those secretaries posted those ribbons on their desks like badges of merit.
Wow.
It was astounding to see. Forget about the compliance. You know, of course, there was, because those secretaries made sure their lawyers let them go so they could go through their training. But it was the motivation, how people were so inspired to learn and to get their little ribbon. It was just...
Yeah. That's just great.
It just really...
That's great. I love that.
And so I just think that maybe sometimes, this is one of the things I notice with newsletters, is you can get really creative.
Yes.
Right? You can do whatever you want in a newsletter.
Yeah, it's your newsletter.
Yeah. So I think that sometimes we think, oh, okay, I got to do an article, I got to do a top 10 list. You can have fun with this. And I think that that's some of what you were pointing to in the beginning when you were talking about how you felt about the welcome, that sometimes those things that we may feel in a news that we're like, well, you know, I don't know, that could just be your opportunity to just open up to something new and play
mm-hmm.
with it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, awesome.
And in the place that has the 40 different ideas on things you can put in your newsletter, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of things in there like that that are fun and fun-loving.
Yeah.
You know?
'Cause I think that's the other thing, too, that when you show your personality, it just makes such a difference because people can connect with you. And this is one of the trends we've been noticing in marketing, is that people not only want to be educated, they want to be entertained. They want to have fun while they learn.
Yeah, and you know, there's one other thing I just want to, I want to kind of bring, be real here in that, you know, you may have a list of 200 or you may have a list of 2,000, and when you put stuff in there that is designed to encourage participation and interaction and that kind of stuff, you are probably not going to get a huge number or huge percentage of your list doing that. That is the nature of today right now, is that people are really busy. So don't go in with these kinds of efforts thinking, oh, my God, it's going to, like, you know, revolutionize things, because it may be slow going at first, and it's okay, because people will start interacting with you and more will. But the thing is that a lot of people are noticing and not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking the time to write you. They're, you know, so you might even come up with a statistic that you feel good about, you know, like for every 10 people who write me, there must be 100 that haven't written me but that feel the same way, you know. So I just wanted to make sure that people didn't come away from this thinking, oh, my God, if I do this, you know, it's going to rock my world. Well, it may, but it's going to take a little bit of time. Those people, those 90 people that aren't responding but that are noticing, when the time is right for them, then they will be contacting you. Because they've been noticing you, they just didn't have the impetus or the time to respond in that to that particular request.
That is such a great point. I mean, I think if we said nothing else on this call except that, that is huge. Because you just don't know how you're impacting people just because they're not responding in the moment.
Absolutely.
I've had that experience, I'm sure you have too, Linda, where people, you know, will email me and say, well, I've been on your list for years.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you hear from them.
I have a new client who last week spent $1,500 in one fell swoop with me, and she said she'd been holding on to my material and being on my list for 5 years. She received something in the mail from me 5 years ago. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah, so this is one of those long-term, steady but true strategies that pays off in the long run, and it's just a matter of you being consistent with your message and getting it out there on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can I say something about the blogs and the social media and whatnot? Because I get this question a lot, and I imagine it's living in those who are listening to this as well, so I wanted to make sure to answer that. The difference between a blog and a newsletter, and the reason that you want to have both, is because a blog, by its design, is like nectar. You know, the bees come to it because there's good stuff and there's good SEO or search engine friendliness, right? So that's where people are attracted to. And then your newsletter is something that you push out. So it's sort of a push-pull kind of a system.
Mm-hmm.
The blog pulls them in, the newsletter pushes out your essential message that you want to be getting out. So you have a lot more control over that. If you just post things on your blog and wait for people to come to it, that's not going to serve you. So that's why the newsletter is so important, because you control what goes out and when and what's in it exactly, and, you know, for that particular issue, et cetera. So that's a really important distinction. Second of all, with all of the other social media tools that we have, and with your blogs as well, they all interact so beautifully. So you send your newsletter out to your immediate list. You put maybe you put the whole article on your blog, or you put just a link to the newsletter on your blog, or some portion of it, or you divvy up the portions of your newsletter and put it in, you know, five different blog posts. That's always a nice thing to do, you know, for those voracious appetites. And then you put your Twitters, your tweets that drive people back to either the online version of your newsletter or to that particular topic on your blog. You know, you let people know that I just sent out my newsletter and it's talking about this. You know, you might have a Facebook update that says that, and here's a link to go sign up for my newsletter, so you too can get this information. So it all works interactively. It's not something that supplants and replaces a newsletter. A newsletter still has an incredibly, you know, it's been used for years and years and years by people, and it will continue to be used for years. I did a batch of research about, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago or half a year ago, I think it was about 6 months ago, where I was looking to see what is the impact, has anybody studied the impact of social media on newsletters or on email, specifically on emails that you send out. And there was some information, and it was startling. I really was surprised to find out that this study showed that of the ways people receive information online, that 86% of them still preferred to receive that kind of information by email. And that is more than likely, I don't think they went into age in that study, but my experience, given that I have an 18-year-old son, is that that may no longer be true by the time he's my age. You know, generation does seem to really gravitate toward information coming to them in other ways. He doesn't check his email as often as he checks his Facebook and interaction there. So it's not to say that it won't change, that email is here forever and ever and ever, but for right now, for any kind of foreseeable future, particularly for people, you know, in 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, that's the primary way that people want to receive their information. So don't be afraid of using it. You're not old-fashioned.
Lynn, I wanted to ask you a question about how folks subscribe to your newsletter. Do you recommend, I know that you can put an opt-in box on your blog, and I've seen some people do a separate opt-in page alone just for their newsletter. What do you recommend?
Both.
Both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
If you had to choose one over the other, I'd say put it on your blog, put
right.
it on your website.
Yeah.
Because you definitely want to have it there and in a way that it can exist on every page, because you never know which page people are going to land on.
Right.
When if they're, you know, if they found you in some search or whatever, you don't know which page of your website or your blog site they're going to land on. So have it on every page. And the best way to do that is have it in the header or, you know, one of the side areas that stays the same from page to page. But there's certainly a lot to be said for selling it a little bit more. You know, today you can't just have a newsletter opt-in box. You need to give people something of value that they'll find hopefully irresistible, and that way they'll be more willing to give you their name. It used to be 5-6 years ago that all you had to do is say subscribe to my newsletter and that was fine, but now people are choosier. So if you have an opportunity to quote-unquote sell your free offer, oddly enough, you actually have to sell your free offer. You have to persuade people that what's in this great special report or this e-book or this audio interview or whatever it is that you're offering, that it's got value that they want. So if you have more space to do that, you will have more success in people signing up for it. And that's the good purpose of a standalone one-page website with your free offer.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what I've been seeing that. And the cool thing about that, too, is like if people ask you, oh, where can I get your website? You can just point them to a URL and say, oh, you can go here.
Yeah.
That's really...
Now, some people have it where their opt-in page shows up, you know, you give out their website
mm-hmm.
and the opt-in page shows up, and that can be really annoying. If someone can't get into your website, you know, they may want to spend some time there and know more about you. If they can't get into your website from your opt-in page, that's going to be really annoying. So be sure to have, if you have a people driven to a standalone opt-in page before they even get into your site, be sure that you have a big old button that says, you know, skip and go into the site, or you know, however you want to word that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good tip. Those are very annoying.
Yes.
I mean, I'm web savvy, and I get everything, and it's still like I'm like, I don't know if I want to hold people hostage here.
No, I don't think I want something badly enough to sign up for this thing if all I wanted to do was go in and see their website.
Yeah, absolutely. Linda, can you share some list-building tips with us? I know you were going to do that a little earlier.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. Well, one of the things that Adele and I talked briefly about when we were talking about doing this is the use of collaborative strategies in building your list. And I think that this is one of the most important and funnest ways to go about building your list. Yes, you should have a free offer and you should have that opt-in box on every page of your website, but you know, people are going to be driven to that in trickles and droves unless you happen to be promoting a teleclass or something. Teleclass registrations, that's a good place to have people sign up for your newsletter. You want to make sure, I feel like I'm talking so fast because I have so much to say. If you're gonna use a free teleclass as a way to sign up, as a way to increase your list, which is a really good thing to do, you want to make sure that underneath the submit button that you be sure to let people know, you know, as a thank you for signing up for this class, you'll also receive my newsletter, blah, blah, blah. You just want to make sure that you're, you know, full disclosure
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And secondly, so teleclasses are great, opt-in boxes on your website are great, but these collaborative adventures are so cool, and I think I would ask you to just attest to the value of them in growing your list. You went from 200 to many thousands.
Well, I'm at 17,000 now.
There you go. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. And it's no small feat to do collaborative ventures. They do take some work and some energy, but they are so worth it.
The bang for your buck is huge.
It's just huge.
So, and I want to let everybody on the call know. I'm sorry.
The other thing that I was going to add is that when you start having these conversations with colleagues, you find out that, you know, you might be partnering on other things besides this one thing that you're doing. You get to know the people in your field, and you get to know your colleagues on a much deeper level. That's the other thing I was going to say.
Yes, I agree. It's really, it's lovely that way.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. We are not meant to be working on all this stuff by ourselves. We aren't.
Yeah.
We're social beings. We are meant to you know, boost each other, to benefit each other in the process of working together. It's just so much richer. And a lot of people who are solo professionals, they work in this little box. And it just, I could just go on forever about that. So yes, you want to collaborate. And if you are the mastermind behind the event that you're putting together or that is being put together, then you get to claim all the names of the people who are signing into that event. So in Adela's case, she's gotten a lot of different speakers together who are all talking on their particular area of expertise. So somebody coming to this summit is learning tons from all these different juicy people. So they're getting huge value for it. Adela is getting huge numbers of people on her list because of it. And everybody who's participating is getting huge value from the exposure, from the people who are joining their list or taking advantages of their offers that they make on the call. You know, it's just it's a win-win for everybody. I like to say that it's a four-win, win-win-win-win, because I win, you win, the client wins, and then your clients win.
Yeah.
You know? So one of the things that I'm starting to talk about more, because I feel like I've really cracked a nut in this area that's a little bit different. Last year, my colleague Kim Clausen and I put together the Done For You giveaway, and that's one of the things that I want to make sure everybody who is listening to this call or listens to it on recording goes to is doneforyougiveaway.com, doneforyougiveaway.com. And that's what we put together as one of the ways that we could sort of accomplish a lot of objectives. Number one, it's helping us grow our lists. Number two, it's getting big exposure for the services that we offer. And number three, it's of tremendous value that we're offering to people. This is a collaboration of a lot of different people who provide services and done-for-you products. And everybody is giving away something that's unique and different from the others, so we don't have any overlaps. And so you'll find there people giving away fully ready-to-go opt-in templates. You know, all you have to do is put in a little bit of text, and she's giving those away to everybody. You know, that's a really wonderful thing. So there's a lot of buzz that's created by this kind of event because it's giving away so much of value. The buzz created by a telesummit like Adela's Conscious Business Telesummit, you know, it's got a lot of really great people giving away great value, so it creates buzz. And that's what you can do in your industry. So you can either create a giveaway or you can create a telesummit, and you just start connecting and networking with other people who do something with the same population that you serve. So let's say you are a coach and you work with the lesbian gay community, right? There are lots of other people serving that community, and maybe not all coaches. Maybe there are some cruise ships, you know, that are connecting with that community and market specifically to them. There might be realtors that specialize in working with lesbian and gay couples, you know, adoption agencies. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could, people, types of people that you could connect with who are all serving similar industries in different ways, and you can put something together that's going to be of value, that's going to create a lot of interest. And one of the first things that, that the ways that work, the way that works is that everybody who is participating collaboratively emails to their respective lists. So let's say you had 10 people participating, and let's just say that those 10 people had 500 people on their list. You know, and oftentimes you're talking much bigger numbers, but just for purposes of say, somebody getting started with this concept. So now your exposure has grown to 5,000 instead of 500, because 10 different people are emailing to their list of 500 each. So, you know, those people are going to be participating with you now. There are different ways to go about handling, you know, who gets the names and that sort of thing. But, you know, that's for another call with a little more time to go into that kind of
thing. Sounds like you're all fired up on this, Linda.
I am. You're on
the joint venture wagon.
I am.
it's really wonderful. And as a business owner, you grow a lot, because one of the things that it does for you, too, and these are all skills that are key in your business and that will help you with your clients, you really learn how to partner powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
You really do.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, all of these skills, every time you try and you stretch and you go into a different arena, if you get to bring this skill set into your work with clients and into your business, and you'll be surprised at how your business transforms as a consequence.
Yeah. It really is amazing.
Yeah.
And transforms is a key word. It's not just one that Adela is throwing out there. It can be tremendously transformative.
Yeah.
You never even know sometimes what can come of this. You know, people get exposure to you and your work through something like that, and they may offer you something completely out of anything that you'd considered before.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time. I know. I get approached by, I won't even name two people that have just contacted me within the last week that were people that I probably wouldn't have been able to approach and would have said yes to me way back 2 years ago.
Right. Yay.
Yay. And it's
See,
exciting.
Your stature has grown. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting, because then those are people that I can share with my community. You know, it's just, this whole thing is a win-win-win for everybody.
It is. Totally.
So the time has flown, Linda.
I know.
You know, it's just like, it's so hard to just stop.
I know.
Can you tell us, so I'm going to make sure and share the doneforyougiveaway.com web link in the post-call email, and I'll make sure and put it on your speaker page. But I know that you also had another offer for us and a nice discount. I'm just going to give folks the domain name. It's consciousbusinesstribe.com/ready-to-go. And can you tell us a little bit about that offer?
Absolutely. The offer is for people to have 25% off on any package of 12 ready-to-go articles. So, again, these are articles that you can use as your own. They've been written by either me or one of the professional writers that I hand select, and they are on topics that really vary, but you can find them on relationships, on business building, on executive career coaching, on anger, you know, just it spans the gamut. There are about 400 articles there to choose from, and the site itself is getting ready to have a big redesign and a re-engineered approach. And so the prices that are there right now, which you'll get 25% off of, are going to be changing at the end of the month and going up. So this offer is good through the end of May, and you're going to have the code on that site, or should I say it now?
Yeah, it's Conscious Biz, all uppercase, right?
Right, yeah, Conscious Biz. That will get you the 25% off. And, you know, there, if you like writing your own articles, these can be a way to augment what you offer so that in any given month or period of time, if, oh my God, there's, you know, all kinds of stuff happening, you just didn't get around to writing your newsletter. Whoops, sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, see, the little exclamation mark on that. Then you can use those articles and not have to skip a newsletter. And if you don't like writing your articles, these will be like heaven to you.
Absolutely. Let me give that that URL one more time. ConsciousBusinessTribe.com/ready-to-go. Linda, thank you so much for being here. This has been such a chock-full hour.
Thank you. It's really been my pleasure. It's one of the favorite things for me to do in my weeks is to teach all about newsletters and, as you said, the way of the newsletter. I love it.
Yeah, and I know that you were hard-pressed to not share everything because there's so much. And so folks can get an opportunity to play with you if they go to consciousbusinesstribe.com/ready-to-go. Thank you so much, Linda, for everything. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for being here with us today. And,
go out and connect with your audience.
Connect with your audience. Write your newsletters. Yeah. And we won't have any more interviews this week because I am at a conference, the Radiant Success Conference, where I'm going to be emceeing with my friend Ellen Britt. And so we will be back here next week on Tuesday for more interviews. So we're going to be with Nancy Marmolejo.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. So, again, thank you so much, Linda. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Being here. All righty.
All right.
Okay.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.